بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد أفلح من أسلم ورزق كفافا وقنعه الله بما أعطاه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 25th night of Ramadan and could also potentially be the night of Qadr. Laylatul Qadr was bestowed as a khususiyah and as a speciality, or we can say a special gift for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Laylatul Qadr and the concept of Laylatul Qadr did not exist in the previous ummahs. This is a special gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a distinguishing feature of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a khususiyah of this ummah. In a riwaya in Muwatta, Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and pondering over the lengthy lifespans of the previous nations. Because the earlier nations in the world lived for hundreds of years, like the Qawmi Aad, Qawmi Thamud, and others before this ummah. There were some ummahs that lived for an average of 400 years. The average lifespan of a person in that ummah used to be 400 years. They used to get baligh and mature at the age of 100. In other words, if the man died at 90, then maybe they would take pity and say the poor child died. Only 90 years old. So that was the lengthy lifespans they had. And by virtue of that, they were able to spend a lot of time in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those among them who were obedient, those among them who were the believers, then they could spend hundreds of years in ibadah. Whereas the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ 60 إِلَى 70. The average lifespan of my ummah is between 60 to 70 years. 60 to 70 years in comparison to hundreds of years of the previous ummahs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pondering over this and he was grieved. Why? Out of fear that the previous ummahs would surpass his ummah. The worshippers and the abid of the previous nation who was able to worship Allah for hundreds of years, then his reward will supersede the reward of somebody who only lived for 60 to 70 years in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the ummah with Laylatul Qadr. That Laylatul Qadr is one night only, one night in every year. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Better than 1,000 months. Better than 83 years and 4 months. Not equal to 83 years and 4 months. Not equal to 1,000 months. But rather, better than that. A person who spends this night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does some act of good in terms of nafil salah, charity, dua, dhikrullah, tilawat of Quran, then the reward is like as if he has done this for more than 1,000 months. So, alhamdulillah, if a person had tawfiq of witnessing 20 Ramadans in his life, and he managed to get Laylatul Qadr because every odd night of the last 10 nights, he spent in ibadah. 20 times 1,000 months. How many hundreds of years, mashallah, of reward he would accrue in his account. And if we look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor on this ummah is so huge, so great, that like we have Laylatul Qadr, every other deed also has potential of great reward. There are so many other deeds that a person can engage in for which the rewards are huge. In fact, any good deed, Quran says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Any person who brings a good deed to the Akhirah, meaning he does a good and he does it properly, it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. He gets 10 times the reward, as if he did that deed 10 times. So if somebody read 2 rak'ahs of tahajjud salah, the minimum reward he will get in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 2 rak'ahs times 10, as if he read that 2 rak'ahs 10 times. If somebody went for umrah, then minimum reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as if he went 10 times for that umrah. If somebody went for umrah, he was residing in Jeddah, then his reward is 10 times umrah from Jeddah all the way to Makkah, umrah and back. And if somebody was residing here, mashallah, at the southernmost tip of the African continent, and he went for umrah once only, the minimum reward is that as if he went and came, and went and came, and went and came 10 times, for once, carrying out that deed only 1 time. Such is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some ulama have mentioned this too as a khususiyah of this ummah. The times 10 for every deed is for this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith mentions times 10 ila sab'i mi'ati di'fin. I said the minimum was 10. Minimum reward of any good deed is times 10. However, the potential is there for up to 700 times. Some people carry out a deed with so much of ikhlas, sincerity, with so much of mujahada and sacrifice, with such feeling, etc., dedication, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that deed so much that instead of giving him the minimum times 10, Allah rewards him much more. Some of them get times 100, some times 200. إِلَى سَبْعِ مِئَةِ ضِعْفٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says up to 700 times for one deed. So in other words, I gave the example of one umrah. Some people do one umrah and Allah reward them as if they have performed 700 umrahs for one umrah. إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says up to many more times. Not only 700, also is not restrictive. The potential is limitless, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khazana and Allah's treasure also is limitless. So this is the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. It is for us to take advantage. And as I mentioned at the beginning, among the reasons for this is the short lifespan of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Average 60 to 70. Yes, many people live before that, and some live after that too. وَأَقَلُّهُمْ مَنْ يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, those who will surpass the age of 70 will be in a minority. Majority will leave this dunya by 60 or 70. So short lifespan, but potential for so much of reward, if we are prepared to take advantage. Har cheez mein maza hai, agar dil mein uski jagah hai. If we have place for this in our heart, if we really truly value this, truly believe in the promises of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then mashallah the potential is so great. But unfortunately what happens? In the 60 years of life, 70 years, for some it's less, some live for 20 years, some 40 years. What happens? We go through the cycle of life and we tend to get distracted. Distraction, respected friends and elders, is the greatest weapon of any thief. It's the weapon of a thief that a man is distracted and then he is robbed. So the thief, like shaitan for example, the dunya itself, the attraction of dunya distracts us. Distracts us from our motive, from our maqsad for which we are here in this dunya. And then what happens? A man gets caught up in these different challenges of life and phases of life, not realizing what is our actual purpose, why are we here, and not even realizing how less time we have. They say there was a group of friends that came from the village to the city. And when they came to the city, they were amazed at the tall buildings. And they commented to themselves that, subhanAllah, you know, where we come from, we don't have so tall people to build so high buildings. How they got so high buildings? So they were really, you know, amazed at the high and tall skyscrapers, like we call them. So they said, you know what, we want to stay in the hotel that is in the tallest building. So they find the hotel that is 60 floors. And they go to book a room. They say, we want to book, but we want the penthouse. So the receptionist tells them that, you know, the penthouse is available. And in fact, the penthouse is on discount. Normally you pay more. But they say it's on discount because we're suffering, you know, ESCOM, load shedding. So from time to time, the escalator won't be working. So you may be staying on the 60th floor, but how are you going to get there? So then they again make mashura among themselves and discuss, and they say, you know what, let's take the chance. We don't know when again in our lives we'll get the opportunity to see the world and to view the world from so high up, from 60 floors up. So they book the room, and they live in that room for a few days. One night when they return, then everything is dark and it's load shedding, there's no electricity and the elevators are not working. So now they're faced with this task, how do we go all the way up to the 60th floor by stairs? So one person gave a very nice suggestion. He said, you know what, we have to walk up, let's take our mind off the job. You know, let's distract ourselves, let's engage in conversation, let's pick a topic and talk about something. In that way we won't feel the strain. You know, you see hard laborers working outside, bricklaying, carrying cement, carrying heavy loads, etc. A lot of the time they are talking to each other and doing their work, to take their minds off it. The man is alone, he's singing, etc. To take his mind off the job so that he doesn't feel the burden so much. So they said, okay, let's talk. What should we talk about? So they said, for the first 20 floors, we'll speak about our childhood. You know, what we did when we were children. So mashallah, there was 5, 6, or 7 of them walking. And each one is giving, you know, his karguzari, so to say, his report about his childhood, what tricks they played, which school they went to, who were their friends, you know, how they got into trouble here, and how they managed to achieve something else, etc. And like that, mashallah, they reached the 20th floor. So, alhamdulillah, 20 floors down. Now what do we talk about for the next 20 floors? So they said, okay, let's talk about the aspirations we had in life, you know, and what we achieved in life. So then the next 20 floors, they talk about that. Somebody says, you know, he wanted to be a fruit seller, and mashallah, Allah blessed him with his own farm. So what was his aspirations and what he achieved? Somebody said he always wanted the hand of a particular girl in marriage, and mashallah, he got her as his wife. Somebody else, you know, had another aspiration, and how they built their careers, how they built their lives. They spoke about that for the next 20 floors. And caught up in conversation, they didn't realize, they didn't feel the difficulty of climbing those stairs, and they reached the 40th floor. Then they say to themselves, you know, last 20 floors, let's speak about the challenges of life, the difficulties, the things, you know, the hardship that we experienced. Because life has got ups and downs, you know, you get good and bad. So for the last 20 floors, they discuss all of those things. You know, somebody says he lost his child, and somebody said that farm that he had, you know, got burned, for example, during one season, and he lost his entire crop. And that person who always wanted the hand of that particular girl in marriage, sadly the marriage never worked out, for example. And like that, somebody got very ill, or his child was very ill. And speaking about these challenges, they reached the 60th floor. So they say, alhamdulillah. You know, a task that they thought was impossible. But when they come in front of their room, their hotel room door, they realize something. And they say, you know what? We forgot the key downstairs. The key is lying by the reception. So they distracted themselves to such an extent that they didn't realize why they're going to the 60th floor. Where they're heading to. They were talking and, you know, in conversation and joking and laughing at each other, not realizing that, I'm going, where are we going? We're going to the 60th floor. Why are we going? We are going so that we can enter our room and have a rest. That they were distracted so much they forgot. This is exactly the example of me and you. The example of a person who leads his life in this dunya and gets caught up in all these attractions around him and distractions. That for the first 20 years or the early part of his life, he is in play, amusement with his friends, etc. And thereafter, he begins to get serious. He's getting married, etc. He is a grown man. He needs to build a career. So he works for the next decade or two, building a career, like we say, making his life, getting married, settling down, a job, property, house, car, etc. And along the way, there's some difficulties also, somebody gets sick, there's some lossy experiences in his business. His car, for example, involved in some accident, Allah protect us all, but everybody goes through some and some test in this dunya. And attending to all of this distracts him so much that when he reaches his 60th floor, when he reaches his last day, when maut is in front of him, then the realization comes that what was I supposed to do and what did I do? We are all, respected friends and elders, heading for our last floor. For some people it's 60 years, for some it's 40 years, for some it's 30, for some it's 70. But we are all heading for that last floor. In other words, for that final moment in this dunya, wherein we need to have the key of iman and a'mal with us. And that key will take us into Jannah, inshallah. Those people whom I mentioned in the example, as you know, comical it might sound, it's still possible for them to somehow go back down and get the key. Or make some sabr for that night and then get the key when the lights return. But for us, respected friends and elders, when we reach that end, then there's no second chance. وَلَيُّؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا Allah will never delay. Allah will never delay the time of any soul when his lifespan is up. Not even one moment, one second also, there'll be no delay. Therefore, it is important that we don't lose focus as to what is our purpose in this dunya. Why are we here? We are here to build our akhirah, not to build our dunya. That person who implements the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leads his life in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he can go through every phase of life and be rewarded for it. And he can go through, he also has to experience, he also has to build a career for himself. He also has to get married and settle down. He also will have children and then he may have other challenges in life. He may get sick, etc. Everybody has to go through this. But the one who is doing it in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not losing focus of his goal in this dunya, then inshallah when his last moment will come, he will be ready. He will have the key in his hand and he'll be ready to enter Jannah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about this in Quran, the warning of distraction. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes for us what is in essence the worldly life. Those that spend their lives in this dunya for the dunya. Those that spend their lives here to acquire dunya only and they lost focus of the akhirah. How do their lives get spent? إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُوا وَلَهُونَ The worldly life and life it is living for this world consists of play, la'ib, games. وَلَهُونَ amusement. وَزِينَةٌ adornment. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ boasting and vying and competing with each other. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Six things. And trying to outdo each other in having a lot of children and a lot of wealth. This is the summary of this worldly life. This is the summary of a person who leads his life in this dunya for the dunya. Then he gets caught up in these phases. And as the Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah actually mentions that these phases also are in tartib. That in one's childhood and early years, then he spends it in la'ib, in play. Quran mentions play first. Games and playing, etc. And thereafter it's about entertainment, lahwun. And then once a person is earning in this dunya, is standing on his own two feet, he's a young man, then he wants to boast and he wants to show what he has. And then as he gets older, then he wants to he boasts about his family and his progeny and how many children he has and who has achieved what he has achieved. And then it's never enough because he wants to keep outdoing the next person and amassing more wealth and more wealth and more wealth. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Elsewhere Allah says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ This evil quality of amassing a lot, more than what you need, this alhaakum, this has distracted you. And like I said, distraction is the weapon of a thief. If a person is distracted from his goal, then he's being robbed, he's being violated. So Allah says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ until you visit the graveyard. In other words, many people are caught up in this sin, or we can say in this malady, of merely amassing a lot of wealth for the sake of having wealth, for the sake of boasting, for the sake of show. Then no amount of wealth is enough for this person. There is a difference between one's need and one's greed. Needs can be fulfilled and come to an end, but there's no limit to a person's greed. And that is what we understand here. When a man is amassing wealth purely because of greed, then this will continue hatta zurtumul maqabir. Like the hadith mentions, لو كان لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. If a man had to possess an entire valley of gold, if ever there was a person who was able to afford and own an entire mountain valley of gold, لَأَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا. That also wouldn't be enough. That's the nature of a person who's got this malady of greed. And unfortunately, this is the general trend among people. This is a quality that is found generally in insan. Unless we do not keep ourselves in check, unless we are not careful, then very easily we slip over the boundary of need into the bottomless pit of greed. So the man won't even realize, won't regard one full mountain of gold to be enough. He will want another one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. It is only the sand that will fill his mouth. In other words, he will continue with this greed of one more, one more, one more, till he visits the graveyard, like Quran said. Till that sand is put into his mouth, meaning till he is in the grave. وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us hope that if you are caught up in this cycle, you can still stop. You can still turn and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make tawbah. And nights like tonight are for that, respected friends and elders. For tawbah. To turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To repent. And come out of that circle of greed. Come out of that chakkar, like we say, in that cycle of all the time wanting more without there being real need for that more. So I was mentioning, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah mentioned that this ayah mentions these aspects in the sequence of occurrence in a man's life. First, it's all about play for him as a child, as a toddler, toys, etc. And then growing up is amusement, things to amuse him. And thereafter the other things come. But unfortunately, the closer we get to Qiyamah, respected friends and elders, the more tables turn and things happen upside down. That today even the elders are playing games. Even the grown-up men with long beards got games on their phones and are playing games. Laib. Laib was supposed to be when we were children. But the dunya has been made such now that a grown-up man is playing games. Lahun was for that young teenager, amusement, to go around, spend time with his friends, take his mind off his problems, etc. Amusement now, everybody wants to be amused. It's all about entertainment. And Allah save us and protect us to a large extent. Even the bayans we attend must amuse us. That person must be an articulate speaker. There must be some jokes that he cracks. We want to be entertained even in the masjid, even in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a Christian author who wrote a book in the, maybe in the 70s. I saw the second edition that was printed in the 80s, early 80s. The title of the book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. Amusing Ourselves to Death. And that was just at the beginning when television came about. And he says the time will come and it will be amused. Everywhere a person will want to be amused. I mean, think about it, respected friends and allies. All the time, a person, sometimes in between the two rak'ats of Taraweeh, in between each set of two rak'ats, the phone is out. We can't waste that time too. Let me amuse myself. As soon as we leave the masjid, we are amusing ourselves. Before sleeping, amusing ourselves. A man has gone to the toilet, he's amusing himself there too. Life has become all about amusement and entertainment. He may have been a Christian, but how true when he says the time will come. The entire life, you'll be amusing yourself till death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah protect us. Allah give us tawfiq of realizing that we have this 50 to 60 average lifespan. We have this short time in this dunya. Let us make it worthwhile. Let us engage in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, engage in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, the dunya will come. Dunya we have to earn, but that is not our maqsad. Generally, many people don't realize this. You miss out on some opportunity. Some youngster, for example, wanted to go on some, you know, trip with his friends, and he missed out. Some youngster wanted to buy a particular product, and by the time he collected the money to buy it, or he went onto that website, it was sold out, etc. He couldn't make a particular holiday. He couldn't earn enough, for example, or couldn't get the flight. Then we should console ourselves. That's not our maqsad in the dunya. We are not here for this. We are here to build our akhirah. Along the way, if a person achieved things that, you know, made it easy for him, alhamdulillah. But our maqsad in life is the akhirah. Our maqsad in life is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to win the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Otherwise, if a person follows these things, amusement and play and things of the dunya, then there's no end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in Quran, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Let not these two things distract you and deceive you. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The worldly life should not distract you and deceive you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And the great deceiver, the great con man, meaning shaitan, should not deceive you. These are the two things that are there to distract us from our maqsad and our purpose. We've been speaking about the challenge of the worldly life. Inshallah, in the 10:30 session, we'll discuss the enticement of shaitan and the tricks of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that we are here in this dunya for the akhirah. We are not here to get caught up in the distractions of the dunya, and not here to get caught up in the distraction and the enticements of shaitan. Therefore, in a hadith of Muslim Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a brief hadith, mentions it so beautifully. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ. Everybody wants success. Everybody wants to be successful. How do you judge success? In the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the following three things is how you judge a person's success. مَنْ أَسْلَمْ. He submits and he's a Muslim. He submits to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he is obedient to Allah. He is submissive. Number two, وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. He has been given enough sustenance. Wealth, livelihood, that is sufficient for him. Alhamdulillah, he has a roof over his head. He doesn't have to own it. Maybe he's renting. But he's living, alhamdulillah. He has enough food. He has whatever are his needs, they are being fulfilled. رُزِقَ كَفَافًا. وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَعْطَاهُ. And the third thing is, and Allah gives him contentment with whatever he has been bestowed with. Whatever amount of wealth he has, it may not be too much. It may not be that valley of gold. It may not be in the millions. He has merely sufficient to continue his life. But he has contentment. Then this person is successful. Because like the hadith before this mentioned, a man can have an entire valley of gold. But because he lacks in this quality of contentment, he doesn't have contentment, therefore he wants the next valley. He has 1 million, he wants another million. He has 100 million, he wants another 100 million. And it's going on and on. He has one good device, he wants another device. And he has one good car and he wants another car. He has one good property and then he wants another one. And a second home, and a third home, and a home, you know, in some exotic destination, etc., etc. And it goes on like this until at the end we reach that 60th floor. At the end we see the door of maut in front of us. And then the thought will come. Then the regret will set in. But it will be of no avail because we left the key behind in the dunya and there's no chance for us to go back and pick it up. Nights like tonight, respected friends and elders, are for us to make that change. Nights like tonight are for us to make tawbah, sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and beg Allah to grant us these three things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith of Muslim Sharif. Submission to the commands of Allah, enough sustenance, and thereafter qana'at. Qana'at is the greatest wealth. Qana'at and contentment is more valuable than the millions a person may have in his bank account. Because through that qana'at, this person will lead a peaceful life. And inshallah, he will not be distracted from his ultimate goal in this dunya, and that is the akhirah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.